Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, certified coach, and energy master, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and wellness in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to help you shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for being here. And it's a pleasure always to share time with people in the world. And also, we want to send out beautiful healing energy to those people who are going through challenges. There are many right now, and it's important to recognize that there are people who care. And speaking of caring, I have a very special guest who does beautiful things in the world. She's an accomplished actress, a musician, a singer, a songwriter, as well as a producer, and I'm talking about John Mack. And I'll have a surprise for you in a few minutes. She began acting on stage at the age of 5. John first came to national attention with her performance as Ava Gardner in the Emmy Award-winning biopic introducing Dorothy Dandridge, starring Halle Berry. She's also appeared in several other features, including Playing for Keeps, Blunt Force Trauma, The Amityville Murders, and Taken from Rio, which is going to be released very soon. Her brain child, Aura Drone, has released 3 albums independently. With a soon-to-be-released EP, Aura Drone has performed in festivals around the world. Animal welfare and preserving endangered wildlife are passions for Dawn Mack. She created Defending the Endangered Foundation in 2015 to raise awareness and aid against poaching and trophy hunting. In 2016, John co-directed, starred in, and produced Aura Drone's music video, Aura Drone, Weapon of Choice, which illustrates the devastation that these practices, poaching and trophy hunting, are causing wildlife as well as the planet. In 2023, John Mack directed her first short film, Love Songs for a Mermaid, in partnership with Defending the Endangered to raise awareness about the plight of manatees. Welcome, John Mack. I love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, and thank you for all the wonderful accolades and support.
Well, I think what you're doing is wonderful, you know, especially around the world and we'll get into that. But also, you have a beautiful career as an actress, musician, producer, singer, songwriter. So before we get into talking about what you're doing for animal welfare, share a little bit with our listeners, John, about your history in terms of how you moved into all of these wonderful things.
Oh my goodness. It's like, where to start? I've always been a person who's been interested in many, many things at once, and always had a big passion and care for wildlife and the planet, and, you know, not just the arts, but how they all intertwine. So I feel like as a creative that we can do so much to raise awareness and educate and support and just shed light on important topics. So everything that I've done, especially my work with the animals, I mean, it's been a lifelong passion, you know, from the time I can remember growing up. I literally grew up on a farm, so I grew up around, you know, animals. They were my best friends since I can remember. And so it's always been just a very, you know, just a big passion for me to try to make the world a better place. And, and it just kind of became intertwined with everything I do, whether it's music or film. It always kind of finds its way back in there.
Well, that's beautiful, and I love that that's one of your passions. Tell us a little bit about being an actress, sort of, because you started acting early. How was that as a youngin?
Well, you know what? It was, okay, the difference is, I think for me, I wasn't in Hollywood at that age. I was, you know, my mom was a theater director, and I grew up in the Midwest. And so it wasn't the same as being a kid in Hollywood doing the audition circuit and everything, which, you know, is great on its own. But I learned, I guess you could say, my stripes very organically doing theater. Because my mother was, she was a theater director, just enthusiast, and loved Shakespeare and loved the plays. So by the time I was 5, I think she had already cast me as a small role in my first play, my first drama. So I think it was pretty much from that moment on, I just felt like kind of like, you know, a fish to water, that it was a happy place for me to be creating with a team of, you know, talented people. The idea of just making art from the ground up came from a very early age. Just, you know, my mother's influence was a great thing in that. So yeah, so I basically I started doing theater pretty much when I was a really young girl, and I always loved it. I just had a love for it. So that's where it started, and then eventually moved into, you know, film and television and whatnot. But it did start organically on the stage.
Beautiful. And what were some of the you played several different kinds of roles. What's one of your favorite roles and why?
Oh, on stage or in film, or does it matter?
Both.
Okay. I loved doing musicals from the time, you know, I can remember. I think that's the musician in me. But I've always had a soft spot for musicals. So, you know, we did everything from Grease to Fame to, you know, South Pacific. There were so many different musicals that I grew up doing. And, I mean, I loved all of those. I don't think I had a particular favorite from those. But some of the film roles I played that I really like, I always like the more complex characters, so to speak. And, things where I can really just show different facets of a character. And I, one of my favorite jobs recently was somewhat recently was a film called Kill Chain. That was a few years ago, where I got to work with Nicolas Cage, which was really incredible. And I got to play a kind of a hooker with a heart of gold, but deep down inside a really good person. So I like characters like that where you can, you know, there's one facet of it, which is just the surface, and then there's the other facet, which makes them more viable, realistic, you know, bring it to life as a real person. And that kind of role is just an example of one of my favorite type of roles.
Beautiful. Now you have some other films coming up. You want to share that with our listeners?
Yes. Let's see. I want to say this coming winter, we have a Western coming out, which I'm very excited about, and it's called Taken from Rio Bravo. It's a sequel. It's a sequel to the first film, which is also a Western, Gunfight at Rio Bravo, and this is the sequel. And this and also has, you know, for the Old West people, I guess they forget, or they don't realize that, you know, human trafficking took place even back in those days. So this covers a very heavy topic of that in spirit of a Western. So it's an important story to tell. You know, anyone who's been through those horrible things, you know, deserves their story to be told.
So what's your role in that?
I play one of the women who is taken against her will by the not-so-good guy. So, yeah, so I have to face off with the bad guys. And it was, you know, it's those like I said, those kind of characters or those kind of roles. It's you know, as an actor, you're tapping into something that's very deep and painful. And I just hope I can do it a service. That's coming. Sorry.
I'm sure you can.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. No, that one's coming out in the winter. So there's that. I'm trying to think of what else we have. I just directed a film the beginning of the year, which is a short film, my first short film I've directed. And that one ties back to the animals and defending the endangered and the work I do with the animals. And that one is called Love Song for a Mermaid. And it's kind of a triple-fold theme. One is dealing with loss of a loved one, and how that changes us and who we are after that happens to us, and redefining who we are. I mean, this year I lost my father, and 10 years ago I lost my mother. So this year is kind of an interesting thing that I directed this film, and then my father passed away. So it's been quite personal in many ways. It's a dealing with loss of a loved one. And I think many people
are so sorry for your loss. So is that out now? Or
No. That is in the process of being in post-production at the moment. So it's going to be going to the festivals next year. We're really hoping to get it out there to the art festivals and the film festivals and anywhere we can show it, because it does also cover the topic of manatees, which is one of the creatures that I completely adore, and they were critically endangered. Now they're threatened. Thankfully, Florida, where most of the manatees live, which is where we shot the film also, has been very good about protecting them. But, you know, recent things like the hurricane that came through there, it does tend to wipe out a lot of the wildlife in Florida and areas like that, unfortunately. So basically, we're hoping the manatees, you know, are okay. But this film also covers the manatees, and we work with a foundation there that protects the manatees, because it's one of the few places in the world that they go to, you know, rest in the winter and have their babies, and they're safe and protected there. So it's a beautiful area called Crystal River, Florida. That's where we shot the film. So I got to literally swim with the manatees and, you know, meet them and spend time with them. And they're truly amazing, magical creatures, I have to say.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I wonder, because I'm very connected with the birds here, and they leave usually to go to warmer places. And because there's so much going on in terms of forest fires and devastation, I was thinking, as I usually do a morning walk, like, what's going to happen to these birds? Because they usually return to places that they've been to, and when there's no forest, there's no whatever, how, you know, so those are things that cross my mind, but
yeah.
Nope. So you have a foundation. You want to share about your foundation with our listeners?
Yes. I have a foundation that I started in 2015. It's called Defending the Endangered. And basically, I mean, we've kind of expanded since it began. We started out as just a way for creative people like myself and other friends of mine I know that were, you know, either painters, actors, musicians, you know, whatnot, writers, people like that, to put in our energy and our love for nature and wildlife, and basically an anti-poaching stance as well. Because I think this was right around the time when Cecil the Lion, I'm not sure if your listeners remember who Cecil the Lion was.
Right.
But, that was a horrible story that came out right around that time. And it really inspired me to want to do something more. You know, when you hear stories like that, you just feel so helpless. So I created the foundation to try to raise, you know, awareness, and then eventually get celebrities on board or influencers on board, and do events and, you know, just things like that, whether they're virtual events or in-person events, just to raise money and show that, you know, creatives and people from Hollywood actually do care, because there's many of us that really do care. I know Hollywood gets a bad reputation sometimes, but there's a lot of really great people here who really do want to do something and give something back. So I started it that way, just from myself and my friends that I knew. I said, okay, this is a way for us to, you know, band together and take our creative talents and put it to good use that way, you know, just to do something selfless. And so far we have done some really great things. I mean, we've had some fun events. The first event we had was 2017, the first in-person event, and that was to help with the rhinos and the lions and the elephants and any of the creatures that are being poached really badly. So we worked with a couple of different foundations, or I should say nonprofits there over, you know, in South Africa and places like that, mostly with the rhinos and the elephants, especially for that one. So we raise money to help the black mambas, and they go and they protect. The black mambas are the all-female rangers who they actually guard and protect the parks where the animals get poached. So they put their lives on the line every day just to protect the animals. So we raised money for them, supporting them. That was just the first time. So after that, I think I was hooked. I was like, wow, this is really fun, an opportunity to get a lot of creative and talented people together and make something positive for the planet, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. So that was it. After that event, I said I really enjoy doing this. It's just something, I'm passionate about. So we did a few more. I said, let's just keep going. We did one for Kevin Richardson and the Lions. I don't know if you're familiar with his foundation or his nonprofit, but he works with the Lions and the High and he's incredible. He's the Lion Whisperer, literally. He's incredible. So he's one of these rare people that can actually live among the lions and the hyenas and, educate people and protect them at the same time. So our second event was with his group, and it kept going from there. So now we're going back to the oceans and the water and trying to protect the manatees and other sea creatures, because the ocean is a place that often gets forgotten, unfortunately.
And we need it, and they need it. I mean, where would we be without the oceans, right? It's crazy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we forget that sometimes, but the ocean's very, very important, for sure, and it is overlooked. I mean, the land animals are all incredible and beautiful, but, there's a lot of abuse that happens to our oceans, and it always affects us, we are part of that, very much so, even if we don't always think about it every day. So here we are trying to protect the manatees, and another thing I'm passionate about, of course, is anything to do with the dolphins. That I want to protect the dolphins, because they do the horrible thing in certain parts of the world, where they hunt them and they do things like that. So the shark finning, things like that that people don't often think about, but it does affect the oceans and the ecosystem of the oceans.
It's really sad. I saw something. One of my friends does a lot of support for wildlife and in the ocean, and there's a picture of some fish that, because there's so much plastic that there is plastic that's thrown in the ocean and other places, that these animals have this plastic, I don't know exactly what it was, stuck in its mouth because it thought it was something to eat or whatever. And again, it's going to die, because how do you eat when there's this horrific plastic hard thing that you can't get at? So, sorry, I get upset with all that stuff.
I think everyone's seen the horrible picture. There's when the turtles get the straws stuck up their nose and they can't breathe. Yeah, things like that. I think that's why people are so passionate about straws. It's a little thing, but sometimes I have when you order takeout or something and they give you a straw, if you're not going to use it or if you've used it, I tend to cut it up into little pieces, slice it in half, slice it again. So if, God forbid, it ends up in the ocean, it's not going to kill an animal. Things like that we can do. It takes a few seconds, but it's things we don't think about every day. But a lot of the time, I think it's safe now to say that most of our trash might end up in the ocean at some point or somewhere where it could threaten wildlife.
Which is sad, and I do something a little bit crazier. I hold on to them hoping that it's, and so I have so many straws and other things that you can't recycle, and I'm not going to throw them in the trash, and they just seem to accumulate, and I have piles because I'm not going to destroy nature, but what do I do with them? So it gets
a little... Exactly. If we have plastic, then we know what to do with on the planet right now. I think we could recycle a lot more than we do. We really could. That's the funny part of it, because now, thankfully we have some really clever minds thinking of ways to use plastic and even building materials or things like that, that it's better than going in the ocean, or better than, trying to, it doesn't break down in the environment the way we think. So might as well use it for a structure or something like that.
Or paint, or something, some art kind of thing. The other day I made a call, I'm not going to share it with two some market. And I said, you know, I'm looking at something that you're selling, that they sell. I said, and it doesn't say whether it could be recycled or not. And I don't want to throw it out. And I don't know. And so I said, can I recycle it? And so they looked it up. They said, yes. I said, well, wouldn't it be nice? This is me being, I don't know. Wouldn't it be nice if you had that on the carton so that people would know rather than trashing it? And so who knows if they're going to follow that. But sometimes I speak too loudly, Tom.
No, you know what, though? If you don't speak up, nothing changes. So it takes more of us speaking up. I think there's a way to do it, too. You know, there's a way just to – sometimes people, when you do that in the right way, people don't take offense. They're actually saying, oh, my gosh, you know, I never thought of that. And that's kind of how things come about. So I think it's never a bad thing to speak up in a productive, you know, constructive way. So, yeah, keep doing it. I mean, this is how change happens. I think it's great.
Good. Yeah. Well, I do that a lot. Anyway, let's get back to all the wonderful things that you're doing. So you tell us about, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Auradrone?
Auradrone, yes, Auradrone. Well, Auradrone is a musical collaborative project I started, my gosh, what year? 2007, I think. It's been a while. So it's been something that I started out doing kind of on my own, producing, writing music, performing the vocals and playing instruments on. And then it became a thing where I just started collaborating again with friends, with other creative people that I know. And it became like this really interesting collective of people all over the world. So basically, I've been recording albums with Auradrone since around 2007 I started, and I put out a couple of albums, and now I've been focusing a lot on singles, putting out singles. So I'm working on about, I think, 4 or 5 singles at the moment, but I've also moved into doing film scoring and things like that. So it's a combination. It's kind of evolved where I used to play a lot of live shows. As a musician, I used to play a lot of live shows. And then COVID happened, as we all know. It changed the world. And so it became, you know, now I would love to go back again, though, and play more live shows soon. So that's something I'm planning for the new year. So right now I've been a lot in studio and working on new material and working on film things. And, so Auradrone right now is at that point. But we've put out some, you know, videos. If you go to YouTube, you can see a lot of videos I've done over the years. A couple which I've, you know, edited and helped direct and directed. And so, yeah, it's kind of been an evolving collective project for over a decade now. So I'm curious to see where the next 10 years take it.
Does the name, what, is there a specific meaning to the name at all? Or?
Yes. Well, I figured I like the idea of a continuing harmonious resonance. So aura being the human aura was something that I was interested in, and then the drone being a continuous sound. So I kind of combined the two together, and it just had a ring to it. And I think it was just one of those times where I was having a jam session with a friend, and we both said it, you know, at the same time, wow, that's kind of cool. It works. It works for what we're doing, a continuous resonance of positive, you know, energy in a sense. So it's got a lot to do with the collective, the idea of the collective. So the drone part is the collective, and the aura is the energy all together.
Beautiful. I love it. Yeah, that's
Thank
important.
You.
So
yes.
What's next for you?
well, okay, I have another film I have a couple more films coming out this year, and I'm in post-production on a couple of things as well right now. So I have a film I forgot to mention called Andromeda Wars, which I shot this year, just shot it, and it's in the process of post right now, being edited and all that magical stuff that happens after we finish the shoot. And that is going to the film markets in November, and hopefully we're going to see it, you know, either on streaming. I think probably on streaming this one. It's a nice sci-fi, you know, kind of action film, so I think it'll do really well on streaming. So I'm thinking in 2024 it's going to probably come out on streaming. So Andromeda Wars, yeah, I get to play a an alien or not human, I guess you could say, warrior, but she's very valiant and very strong. And it was really fun to play that. I got to work with interesting masks and prosthetics for the first time doing an entire film like that. So that was an interesting challenge, but I really enjoyed it. It was really fun.
Sounds great. So what kind of acting do you like to do the best, or is it doesn't really matter?
You know, anything that's like, I think I said earlier, I like a challenge. So anything, you know, the writing is so important. It's got to have great writing. So anything that has great writing and a great character where you can just delve into someone who's, you know, complex, because I think most humans can be a little complicated. So things where as an actor I can, you know, explore and, you know, just find other parts of a character to bring out and make more human and make more relatable. I mean, I tend to love drama, but I do also have a love for horror films and sci-fi too. So it just depends. I mean, anything that's, you know, it resonates with me and I just feel like, okay, I can tell this story the right way. I can do this character justice. So, yeah. And it's also very contingent on who I work with too, because, you know, I always want to work with great actors and great directors and whatnot. So, yeah. And any of that comes together perfectly and I'm happy. I'm just happy as can be. It's my happy place.
Beautiful. I love it. So, music. I mean, you're a musician, you write, you're a songwriter, you're a singer. How did you get into music? Was that just a part of the acting, or was that a whole separate thing, John?
It was kind of like happening alongside the acting, but music was just something I gravitated to on my own. My mother and father were not musicians, but I loved music since the time I can remember, and I spent, you know, a lot of time just singing on my own and you know, just kind of bashing my toy drums and, you know, making my own songs. I think it's just kind of something I picked up. I remember my parents had, or my mother especially, had a really cool record collection or music collection back in the day. And I loved, that's why I think I love classic rock so much. My mother had, you know, great Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles and David Bowie. And, you know, it's like growing up with that stuff is amazing. Yeah, it's really. So I became quite a music fanatic from the time I can remember, because at heart, you know, bands like that, I just, from the time I was a little girl, I was listening to the classic stuff and I grew a big appreciation for it. So I think that's what bit me, is that the bug that bit me was the pure, like, visceral genius of music. It's different than film. It's just, music is, you know, it doesn't matter what language you speak. It can affect you. It can touch you. And you don't need to always understand everything perfectly with the lyrics, but you get the feeling. And so, yeah, so music for me was just something that I think is one of the few magical gifts we have, you know, in this reality. I think music is, it can heal, you know, it can really do so many things. So, yeah, so I fell in love with music very, I just remember from the time I can remember, I was always literally listening to music and dancing and singing, and it just came about very naturally for me.
Beautiful. I love it. Yeah, music has a way, like you said, it brings people together, and it's uplifting, and it can be really beautiful to share. So I love it, too.
Yeah.
So, in terms of what's important to you, I know it's about defending the endangered and caring, and what do you see are some of the challenges that you had in your career in terms of acting, in terms of music, whatever it is, being an actress, performing, whatever
yeah.
it is?
Well, you know, I mean, I think by this point, it's no secret that, you know, Hollywood and that whole career path is not the easiest. I think it's not for the faint of heart. It can be very challenging. I mean, it can be wonderful when it's wonderful, but it is overall, I always say it's a marathon, not a race, because it is something that you have to, you know, constantly rededicate yourself to and remind yourself, you know, this is why I'm doing this. Because it's not the easiest path or business path for life. And it's not
the easiest way to make a living, for sure. You know, there's much easier ways to make money and make a living and, you know, all that. So all the glamorous stuff we hear about Hollywood is, you know, most of the people that I know working in Hollywood who are still working as long as we have been really love the craft of making films and acting and making art. And it's kind of like being in the circus, you know, once you're in, you're in, that's your life. That's who you are. And I feel like that's kind of, in a way, this is our own circus. So it's not easy. You kind of have to remind yourself, you know, why you do it and staying true to your own creative vision. And it's, you know, I feel like I've had my share of challenges just like anyone. But I'm grateful that I've learned many lessons too. And I've been able to stay in there, stay in the game. And, you know, and even right now we're in the middle of a strike, as I'm sure many people know. You know, a lot of us haven't been having the same opportunities to work as we would like. But, you know, it's things like that is the challenge, is being able to survive that and remember why you love what you love. So, yeah, it's been, you know, especially because I didn't grow up in the business, too. I think that was the other thing I had to really learn from the ground up, you know, just kind of learn on my own and make my own mistakes without having any mentors or guides or anything. But, yeah, I wouldn't change it, though, because it's what I truly feel like I was put here to do, at least part of that. And it's just, you know, it's right when you have those moments when you're in the middle of working on set or you're working with a great group of people and you just feel that camaraderie and that kind of a magical spark. So for me, those are the moments that make all the rejection and the ups and downs and the uncertainty and all that stuff that comes with any career as a creative person, it makes it all worthwhile.
Beautiful. I love it. Now, if somebody were to ask you, John, what is your creative vision? What does that mean to you? How would you respond?
Well, that changes. I mean, I think it's, as any artist, our creative vision changes, you know, and evolves, mostly it evolves. But I think it's always going to be tied to leaving the world a better place than I found it. And, you know, just giving my own unique vision spark to the whole sea of what's already out there as far as works and offerings. Like putting my own hat in the ring, so to speak, and being able to really look back on my life, I guess, when, you know, when I can one day say, okay, I've achieved what I set out to do mainly, and just feel like, yeah, I've made people aware, I've made people happy, I've made people smile, I've made people feel more connected and less alone, and I think that anything I can do that is fulfilling my creative vision.
I love that. And that's important, I think, that, you know, to be able to do that with your creative vision and also see that it goes out to help other people, not just to, you know, it's not just self-aggrandizing, which is wonderful. And that's important because, like you said, there are a lot of actors, actresses who are not at the top in terms of making tons and tons of money but their working and their passion and their vision are really strong and beautiful, and it's important to support them and you.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, no, I agree. At the end of the day, those are really the people that hold up our industry. They often forgotten, you know, whether it's the crew members or the lesser known actors or people like that, you know, without them, everything would fall like a house of cards. So we need to remember it is a group effort. It is a group effort. We're never, no woman or man is ever an island, truly.
Beautiful. So share with our listeners how they can find out more about John Mack, about your future films, also the wonderful DTE, Defending the Endangered, how they can support that and you in any way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anyone's always welcome to reach out to me. I have a few different ways to find me online. I mean, you can go to my official site, officialjohnmack.com. You can check that out. You can go. I have a Facebook page as well. So feel free to reach out and say hi anytime. We also have a Defending the Endangered website, defendingtheendangered.com. And you can check there for updates and news. I have Aura Drone is on iTunes as well as Spotify. And
I'm trying to think. My Instagram. Okay, it's me_JeanMarie. So if anybody wants to say hi to me on Instagram, feel free to reach out.
Beautiful. So what would you like to leave our listeners with, Jean?
Well, I'm trying to think. I guess I can expand upon what I said earlier and the fact that, you know, whether you're an artist or not, everyone in this a creative way that they exist here. You know, no matter what your job is to the world, you're here to give something back and be part of this beautiful tapestry that we often forget we are part of because we get caught up in everyday stuff. And it's really easy to do that, especially the way the world is right now. A lot's being thrown at us and a lot of confusion. But at the end of the day, it really is simple. It's what can you contribute? How can you be connected? And we're all here to do something good. We really are. I really believe that. You know, even in what we think is a small way, it can be a giant way to someone else. So just remember that, you know, every day is a gift, an opportunity to help someone else and make a huge difference in someone's life. Even if it seems minor or insignificant to you, you always have a good purpose here. So no matter what you do, yeah, just have to find that every day.
You know, I think that's so important, and I think everybody does. I'm with you on that. Everybody has something special to share, and it doesn't matter how large or small that it is, and that's important. And we need to celebrate that. We need to celebrate each other and care for each other, as well as our planet and the animals and everything beautiful that's in it, because we all make up this wonderful place, and that's important. What would you say to somebody who wanted to be an actor?
Well, I say I wish you all the best, and it's a fun, bumpy road, and just know going in that you're the true thing that you should only go into it with is your love for the craft and your love for bringing characters to life, and that should be your main motivation no matter what, not fame, not money, not, you know, anything, attention. It's really about the work and the craft, because acting is, it looks easy on the outside. And it is in some ways, there's a simplicity to it, there's a very zen thing to it, but it's also very complicated. And it's, you know, there's a skill set there, but there's also tapping into your natural resource of talent. So it's a juggling act, but I think if it's something you truly love and you're passionate about telling stories and bringing characters to life, then go for it and, you know, just stay strong. It's a spiritual journey, so. To each his own, but I wish everyone who wants to have this path the best, because it's a warrior's path.
Beautiful. Well, Jean Mack, thank you so much for you, for all that you're doing, for all that you're doing for everyone and for the animals, and wishing you luck. And I want to see that next film, Love Song for a Mermaid. Can't wait to see that. Everything else you're doing in the future. So thanks again for sharing your time and your beautiful energy with us, and have a beautiful and blessed day.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to the listeners. I wish you guys all a wonderful day.
Beautiful. Thanks again. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. So think about what Jean Mack said, because, again, we all have the ability to contribute, to do something. Remember, you can. It doesn't matter how large or small. And also, take a look at her Defending the Endangered nonprofit, because this is a way to not only raise awareness for the manatees, but also think about what we're doing, what you're doing individually and what we're doing collectively for the planet. And take a moment to not only think about it, but do something, whether it's making sure that you're recycling or something that in some way is helping the force of life, the beauty of life, because it's important here. If you want to get a hold of me, you can go to docwhite.org. And remember, you have the ability each and every day to power your life. It doesn't have to be in a large way. Even if you just take one step forward today into something that you want to do, into enriching your life, enriching the lives of others, do that. Take that step. Take that next step and have a beautiful and blessed day. And thanks so much for joining us. Take care.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to enrich you and grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again and visit DocWhite.org for more information and find out how Dr. Joanne can benefit you. Thank you for sharing your day with us and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.